Seattle's Morning News. Good morning. I'm Colleen O'Brien with Dave Ross and Sully, of course. If you Google how to break a habit, you'll be met with pages and pages and pages of so-called solutions. And now there's this one. In The Hunger Habit, Dr. Judson Brewer says after 20 years of studying habit change, he can help you, especially when it comes to food. So good morning to you, Dr. Judd, as you're referred to. Can you first explain your book, The Hunger Habit? What are you trying to change here?
Sure. The big thing that I've seen over the last, 20 years of my clinical practice is people really trying to use willpower to change eating habits. And it's actually not something that works very well. And from a neuroscience standpoint, it's not even in the conversation. And so the big thing that I'm trying to help people with is to understand how their brains work and how to leverage the strength of their brains to change unhealthy habits around eating rather than trying to force themselves to change.
When you're talking about willpower, are you talking about our colleague G. Scott, who just gave up sugar and bread cold turkey and decided he's never touching it again?
Perhaps.
That sounds like willpower to me, something I really can't do around food. So why don't we start with the brain? We aren't born with habits. We develop them. How do we form them?
Yeah, we all have this same mechanism. It's through positive and negative reinforcement. And it actually goes back to helping us remember where food is and how to avoid danger. Everybody shares the same mechanism. There are three elements: a trigger, a behavior, and a result. So, think of our ancient ancestors out on the savannah. They see food. There's the trigger. They eat the food. There's the behavior. And then their stomach sends this dopamine signal to their brain that says, remember what you ate and where you found it. And that feeds back and reminds us, hey, next time, you're hungry, you can go back here to get food. In modern day, that's still in play, where we are starting to learn to eat food, not when we're hungry, but when we're angry, sad, lonely, bored, tired, all these emotional reasons that we eat. And also, we might mindlessly eat while we're watching television, or we might, eat beyond satiety if we're part of the clean plate club. So all of those become reasons that we eat, not out of hunger, but just out of habit.
Clean plate club was very damaging to a generation, wasn't it?
It was, for sure.
Yeah. And why is that? Why did we start teaching kids to eat everything, even if they're not hungry? And how do we change that as an adult if that was done to us?
Yeah, I have no idea how I got set up, but it certainly was true for me. It's kind of like don't waste food type of thing. And, it's some flavor of, if you have to eat all of your dinner before you get dessert. And so kids were taught to not pay attention to their hunger and their satiety signals, but to their parents' wishes and demands instead.
The reward of dessert.
What's that?
The reward of dessert.
Yes, yes. So I think we can change that by, even parents just understanding that, once they understand how the eating habits work, they can help to help their kids be healthy in the sense of getting proper nutrition, but also listening to their full signals from their bodies.
I know one of the questions that you ask of your clients is, how do you know you're hungry? And that's, I guess, what we have to relearn. So what feeling can you look to? Because we all understand, I think, eating because we're anxious or eating because we're bored, eating because we just got in the habit of eating it, when you're watching television. But can you describe what actual hunger should feel like?
Yeah, it's a good question. The most common and reliable signals of hunger are stomach rumbling, and grumbling and being empty. But there are some other signs that aren't, that can be overlapped with other things. So, for example, we can have a lack of concentration or be irritable and things like that. And those aren't specific to hunger. They can be signs of hunger, but they can be signs of other things as well.
I'm also reading, too, in the outline of your book, that just like social media companies developing apps that are addictive to us, that the food industry has also keyed in on a magical combination that sends our brains, according to your book, into a frenzy of desire. So even the food industry is working against us.
Oh, yes. They've been doing this for a while. And interestingly, I don't know if it was back in the 80s or around then that You know, a lot of the tobacco companies started merging with food companies because they had engineers that knew a whole lot about addiction and getting people addicted to nicotine in this case. Well, they started employing their folks to make food addictive as well. For example, there's this well-known phenomenon called the bliss point, which is the perfect mixture of sugar, salt, and fat that really gets our dopamine firing.
Just saying that, my mouth is watering. I moaned. I was like,
control
sugar,
yourself,
salt,
Colleen.
And fat.
Control yourself.
Right? But I mean, so is that a sign that you may be addicted? Because you talk about, I'm reading the word Dorito in front of me and my mouth is watering. Is that how I know I might be addicted to a certain type of food? That my mouth
it
is watering?
It certainly can be a sign. And even that can be a sign. It's kind of like Pavlovian conditioning. Yeah. You know, if you've been conditioned to eat Doritos and you see a picture of a Dorito, you start salivating. You're just like Pavlov and his dogs, where he trained them to, you know, salivate when they would when he'd ring a bell because they knew food was coming.
Listen, I'm not complaining. Doritos are delicious, but I also love to know that this is a function of the food industry making me addicted. So what do we do then? You said willpower doesn't work. You know, food is food. I don't want to make any food forbidden. I think that's just as damaging as Clean Plate Club. So then
I agree.
How do we go about our lives eating what's right for us and not what we're addicted to?
Yeah, it all comes down to listening to the wisdom of our bodies. And the way I think about this is that our feeling body is much stronger and wiser than our thinking brain. And the reason I say that is that, you know, for anybody that's tried to change their eating habits based on willpower and failed, they'll see how, you know, we can't just think our way out of a problem. From a neuroscience perspective, if you look at the equations of behavior change, they have everything to do with one important ingredient, which is awareness. And what I mean by that is, if we've set a habit of eating, whether it's overeating or grazing or snacking or whatever, we're not going to change that unless we change the reward value, meaning how rewarding it is to do that behavior. And the only way we can change that is through paying attention as we do the behavior. That's how any behavior changes.
So watching what you eat instead of watching TV, is that what you're saying?
Yes. And I would say feeling what we eat instead of watching TV. And by that, I mean listening to our bodies, because our bodies will tell us everything that we need to know. I talk about a thing called the pleasure plateau in my book, and there's good research behind this showing that, you know, if we're really hungry, the first bite of dinner can taste really good. But as we go through dinner, the pleasure of that actually changes as we become full. And that is our body telling us, hey, you're getting enough. And if we listen to it, we can coast to a stop at the top of the pleasure instead of, you know, the pleasure plateau, instead of going off of that cliff of overindulgence. And that really requires one thing, which is awareness.
That's really smart, and actually goes with somebody we spoke to a couple weeks ago out of the New York Times, who was talking about tuning into how the food makes you feel. So it's easy for us to go, oh, well, that made my stomach upset. I'm never eating that again. But rarely do we, 2 hours after eating a hearty salad with protein, go, that made me energized, it made me perky, it made me active. And so you're talking about thinking when you're eating. And then another expert says think couple hours later, and that sort of trains you to know what your body needs.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, my lab did a study, we published this a couple of years ago, where we found that it only takes 10 to 15 times of somebody really paying attention as they overeat for that reward value to drop below zero and for them to shift behavior. So it can happen pretty quickly.
Dr. Judd, where do we find the time for all of this mindfulness, huh?
That's a great question. I don't think it requires a lot of time. It just requires us to tap into our natural capacity to be curious as we eat. Now, if we're shoveling food down, you know, and eating an entire meal in 5 minutes, that's one thing. But even if we can take the time to pay attention as we eat, notice how much we eat and what our body is telling us, even if we're eating quickly, we can still learn from that.
I think one of the problems is that the software that our computers keep getting in their updates slows down your computer so much that you keep a snack near the computer to fill those empty moments while you're watching that little circle go around, because you got to do something. And so you eat, Colleen eats her Doritos.
I don't eat Doritos.
Oh, I heard that you get your Doritos from the Doritos cartel in a back alley down by Pike Street.
That's very true. That might be true.
But I like the idea of, yes, if you actually, I mean, I find that if I watch what I'm eating, then I get this sense that, yeah, I actually ate something. Whereas if I'm eating it while watching television, you forget that you've eaten. Hmm. I mean, I couldn't tell you what I ate yesterday at all because I typically don't pay attention to it. That almost sounds too easy, but you're saying it works.
Yes. I mean, our research has shown this. Other people's work has shown this as well. And it's really comes back to this awareness. When we pay attention, our body can register what, how much we've eaten and if we're full. And it will tell us everything that we need to know.
You can read The Hunger Habit from Dr. Judson Brewer if you'd like to change some habits. Dr. Judd, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.